Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, December 13th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
TGIF, Melody.
Yes, yes, it's a rainy day here on the Eastern Shore, Maryland, but it didn't put any... didn't damper the gold prices today. We have an exciting... I was trying to segue into that from rain to gold prices, but...
that worked all right.
Do you think that did all right? Well, you know, sometimes sometimes they're better, sometimes they're worse. But today, gold was up $680 at $1,477. We were off the high by $2. Silver, $17.05, off the high for 4 cents, up 5 pennies. Platinum was down 17 at 930, with palladium down 14 at 1936. Let's see, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. The USDX today, of course, due to the trade the trade agreement, is up 0.56 at 97.22. Crude oil was also up 64 cents at 59.82. And I didn't follow the paper markets today. I saw, you know, an early morning trade, you know, like 5 in the morning when I'm watching the Bloomberg and everything. And, you know, but once I get to work here, I don't follow it as often as I do gold. And it didn't do very well considering, you know, we now have a trade agreement with China. The Dow was up 9 points at 28,141. The NASDAQ was up 17, 8,734. The S&P was basically unchanged at 3,168. 10-year yield, 1.82%. That euro is still 111. I guess the pound did pretty good today after the elections over there. Asian markets just roared. I find that interesting how Japan, Hong Kong, they were all up 2.5%, and I'm assuming that was all based on the China trade agreement. What's interesting is, I don't know, I just find that interesting. Or was that due to the election in London? Because London was up a little over 1%. So, kind of interesting to see those Asian markets increase as much as they did. And most of the chatter out there, Dave, was because of the China-U.S. trade deal. As it moved a little bit closer, that is what truly moved those China market, the Asian markets, a lot higher. So, kind of interesting there. And but a little more information on that. And the U.S. is going to scrap the tariffs on Chinese goods in phases. However, it's still not known when exactly the U.S. would roll back the duties. The White House will also cancel tariffs on consumer goods that was set to take effect on Sunday. Under Phase 1, Beijing is supposedly will increase the agricultural purchases significantly. Of course, the number that keeps popping up is $50 billion. None of the officials specified just how much. I remember that number was a lot higher at one point in time, but $50 billion is the one that keeps, you know, creeping out. President Trump has insisted that Beijing buy more American crops as part of the deal. Anything else on that, Dave?
Well, this so-called developing deal also reportedly involves language on intellectual property, technology transfers, financial services, and expansion of trade, although the exact provisions, that is, language, still has to be worked out. And we've heard comments now about the timing of that language from this coming January, i.e. next month, to as long as after next year's elections. It sounds as though they're the two parties are closer to wanting to sign that phase one agreement next month. It still has to go through legal procedures. There isn't a specific date and time or location set for signing it yet. I read a separate report today saying both parties think that Davos, Switzerland, the World Economic Forum, could be a good spot. I think that's early February, if I'm not mistaken. But in any event, after 10 weeks, after this so-called Phase 1 deal was first announced, both parties have been scrambling to patch together the actual, I believe, agreement. And now they're working, going to have to work on the language. I suspect any language having to do with intellectual property and the technology transfers and so forth might entail just a commitment, either a broad outline of a commitment by primarily China to make some substantial moves, as opposed to actual enforceable moves right now, which will be part of a phase two or three deal if ever that part of it is put together.
Well, there's a, everybody has an opinion, of course, and out of the David Fickling said that there wouldn't have been existed. There's nothing in phase one trade deal that wouldn't have existed in the absence of the past 2 years of wrangling. And, I think the key thing is now that the U.S. is now on the brink of a ceasefire that allows it to quit the field with a few shreds of dignity intact, although it would have been far better had the battle never been joined. Well, we don't know that yet, because we really don't have any bottom lines yet. But I think the key to this whole thing, is that the tariffs aren't going to go on Sunday, on the 15th. I mean, that was really the... I think now everybody is, breathing a sigh of relief because that's not going to happen. Other ones are going to come off, but we still haven't seen what China is going to do and the commitments and, again, all that legal stuff that still has to be worked out. So, it's Asian markets bought it. And, again, the key thing is the financial. And when you look at the, the world financial markets anymore, it's not here in the United States, is it, Dave? It's in the Asian countries, and those are the ones that rebounded the most. So I'm not quite, we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out and what markets and so forth. But, I think the key push was opening up the China's markets for our financial markets.
And that's not a done deal. No. I'm sorry, but until that is a part of an agreement that is signed off on by both parties with specific language, I think it's good to be skeptical about anything substantive having been accomplished here. We've had tens of billions of dollars of assistance to U.S. farmers because of the impact that these tariffs have had on them, even reading that the second round of subsidies may have been actually excessive, that is, at least in terms of how much U.S. farmers were impacted. And the frustrating thing about that, too, is that a lot of that, I forget if it's around $24 billion overall, whatever it is, a good chunk of that has gone to these larger agricultural corporations, as you've talked about in the past. So I think a healthy dose of skepticism is still being felt, and I think is appropriate at this point. I mean, and in terms of gold, that skepticism, I think, is good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But one thing, we all know that these trade agreements wouldn't be done overnight. And I think that the frustrating thing is, for 2 years we've been listening that they are being done overnight. It would have been nice if they would have just been behind the scenes working on the trade deal until they had something that they could actually sign. But it had to be, you know, it had to be all this hoopla for 2 years. And we're not done with it yet. And so,
that's a very good point.
So I think we've seen how comments have moved the markets, you know, with the on again, off again type deal situation. That's just all power play. It's all just, you know, I don't know what it's. I don't know if anybody else is worn out with it, but I pretty much am.
It's in your voice. I feel it in my nerves.
You feel my pain.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's hard to escape these other realities. I mean, the broader U.S.-China relationship, which has been deteriorating over things like the protests in Hong Kong and our official support for the protesters, our response to the China's crackdown on ethnic minorities in the far western Xinjiang province, as well as mounting tensions in the South China Sea, that, you know, they're the ones that spell the real potential problems of military conflict. And of course, we've got this brewing technological war that probably is going to play out over the next 20 or 30 years. So this deal, there's a lot to be tested in the months to come, in my humble opinion.
And you know, when the part that bothers me the most is with every deal, that's why I don't like deals being made in Washington, because we give something up, we get something, and they get something. So what did we give up to China? I'm not just taking the tariffs off, I assure you that. So,
time
you know,
will tell.
So what did they want and what did they get?
Yeah. Well, the one factor that's not being talked about here, you mentioned, you know, what's being talked about in the background is North Korea. Remember how over a year ago there was so much talk about the U.S. Talking to and actually needing China to stay on top of Kim Jong-un and applying pressure on him with respect to the nuclearization of that of North Korea. And we haven't heard much of anything about that aspect, and maybe there's good reason for that. I mean, hopefully there's some sort of talks in that respect going on, especially now that we're hearing North Korea's again ramping up its testing of missiles. But it could be that the talks behind the scenes have not brought much fruit in that regard. So
Now another interesting thing is it's kind of interesting what happened over in the UK today with Boris Johnson, and he's going to retain power, and it was a landslide. And I mean, and as far as beating the, I mean, this is a landslide that hasn't happened since like
1987,
1930 something.
Do we remember Margaret Thatcher?
Well, something goes back even further than that one. This was another historical landslide for them. Something that went back to the 30s. So, a big deal.
What that is, but yeah, it is. I mean, the Conservative Party is won a majority of more than 80 in the House of Commons. The recent polls leading up to yesterday's election showed that, you know, that was narrowing to possibly even less than 60. But as it turns out, Boris Johnson thumped the Liberals, the Labour Party, and others. And now everyone's saying that that's putting the UK in a position for, if not necessarily an orderly exit, an exit nevertheless from the EU by January 31st. So that quite around. Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, apparently has announced that he will resign, that he's going to lead that party in a period of reflection, I believe his words.
The funniest thing that I heard when everybody talks about him, they kept saying, well, you know, nobody, there's just nobody that likes him. You know, he's not a likable guy, and nobody likes him, but he's a socialist. You know, and maybe, ladies and gentlemen, they're just waking up and saying, you know, well, let's take a look around and see what's happening.
It's okay not to like the guy's policies, but, you know, when you don't like the person.
Well, it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, that makes it doubly worse.
You know, I haven't met a socialist that I liked yet because they just don't have that nice personality. I don't know a socialist who has a nice personality.
Well, we'll have to arrange a dinner party, Melody.
Thanks, but no thanks. But so, you know, this was the vote was the first to be held in the winter months since 1974 and the first December election since 1923. So some analysts said today that the large majority would give Johnson the scope to shape Brexit in a softer or harder direction. And they believe that there wouldn't be any softening from the UK leader, and he may try to run down the clock as the government tries to negotiate a future trade agreement with Brussels. So I guess the big question is, are they going to, you know, keep a stronger ties with the EU, or is the trade deal with the United States a little more lucrative for them? But you know, he has a he says it's going to be Brexit by. By January, he's ready to go, and there isn't any reason why they shouldn't be able to do it. So
yeah, it'd be interesting to know a little bit more about what he and Trump talked about the other week during the NATO conference. If, you know, there were some assurances, and again, here I'm just speculating, ladies and gentlemen, but in lieu of any substantive information, we're left to wonder, and you wonder if President Trump did offer some assurances to Johnson that, hey, if you go ahead with this, you win the election and you leave Brexit, no worries, we'll be here for you. You know, we'll negotiate a deal that works for both of us.
I can't imagine that didn't happen. We'll be right back, ladies, and that's what governments do. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Well, you know, folks, Christmas is just around the corner, and we're going to have to come up with some business hours, and our radio programs will be off, of course, a couple of days throughout the holiday season, and I'm going to be taking a little bit of time off. The office is going to continue to function properly, and all my bases are covered. And, of course, with the miracle of cell phones, you can go almost, well, I guess you can go almost anywhere in the world and still communicate. So
it's a beautiful thing.
And so what? Well, I don't know.
You can run, but you cannot hide, girl.
Yeah, right. So we'll be giving out the hours for next week. And, of course, if you want to get your product before Christmas, you better hurry up and make your orders. You can do, we don't take credit cards, but we do personal checks and, of course, bank wires. We'll always get your product a little bit faster to you. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, this repo market, Dave, I mean, it's just, they just continue, the Fed just continues to ramp up that operation with no end in sight. Oof. Haven't read a lot of reports about how much they're pumping into the treasuries.
Well, we're going to tell listeners a little bit about that right now. Back in the States, the Fed is ramping up its operations to keep the overnight borrowing market moving what they call efficiently amid concerns that problems could build as 2019 comes to a close. And since this is December 13th, that means those potential problems are imminent. Along with the daily operations of the New York Fed, there will be several additional offerings that will inject at least another $425 billion into a market that provides this short-term funding for largely banks. The new programs are said to entail a longer-term maturity repo running in to the end of the year that'll have an offering amount of at least $50 billion. Also, overnight repo operations on December 31st and January 2nd. Those are the last and the first trading days of the outgoing and incoming years will rise to at least $150 billion. Finally, the trading desk on December 30th will offer a $75 billion repo that matures on January 2nd. Melody.
You know, we were talking about this yesterday, Butch and myself, and we knew it started in the middle of September, and it actually started, September 17th is when the Fed began conducting its own operations just to keep the market secure. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, there was a spike in interest rates the day before due to the cash crunch. So I guess that cash crunch is still happening, and or the Fed wouldn't be conducting its own operations to keep the market secure. And if they stopped, then you'd have this huge spike in rates. And of course, that can't happen because the system goes bye-bye. And we know the Fed's been buying the treasury bills from banks in an effort to just to make sure the central bank's benchmark funds rate remains low.
Yeah, I mean, now 1.5 to 1.75%, the Fed funds rate, that's where they like these operations, the rates for these operations to be. Mid-September, they were in the 5%+ range, and there's even a point in the day where it went as high as just about 9%. So this new announcement is significant because it follows concerns expressed by a number of folks about whether the Fed's previous moves to quell the repo market were enough. The Bank for International Settlements, for example, which, as listeners know, acts as a consortium for global central banks, issued a report stating that those issues from September could arise again. In addition, there are bank analysts are warning that the central bank, the Fed, may have to gear up for a fourth round of QE, which is essentially what this is, or face serious market
issues.
Don't
tell anybody, though.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm sorry. Will I get in trouble for that?
Yeah, maybe.
I didn't just leak classified information, did I?
Oh, man.
Well, you know,
if you're not here Monday.
Come looking for me.
Okay.
Jerome Powell said following this week's Federal Open Market Committee meeting that the Fed was prepared to take additional measures as necessary to quell the issues in the repo market. God help us, Melody.
Well, you know, it really is amazing. And, you know, you had the Republicans. They did agree to the massive spending bill. And it just doesn't – they have to just keep pumping and pumping and pumping. And that was
the
due –
government what open, the, you mean?
Pardon?
To keep the government open.
Government open, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they had until the 20th. I believe this month, and let's see if there's any information. I didn't have a chance to get all the details and so forth, but the Republicans said they agree, so we'll have to see who was this article by? A Daniel Horowitz.
Onward and upward.
Onward and upward. But
another trillion here, another trillion there. Sooner or later, we're talking about real money.
And as we keep going, that the vast majority of employers actually think that workers are struggling to manage their personal finances. So bosses are trying to help alleviate their financial struggles. And companies are still falling short because the money just isn't there because half of these companies are all in debt. About 8 in 10 employers are offering a workplace retirement plan, such as a 401k. They actually think their employees are hurting financially. It's kind of an epidemic. Employees are struggling with financial wellness, and there's no doctor to go to. And
I would say come to Dr. Melody.
Yes. There
she
you go.
She has the cure for what ills your financial pains, ladies.
Absolutely. But we've seen a lot of companies that have shuttered their pension plans over the past couple of decades, a little bit in favor of the 401ks, and of course that's here we are today. And while also shifting to high deductible health plans paired with health saving accounts, which allows employees to save for medical bills. So, workers are assuming more responsibility as they should.
We learned a couple of months ago that new updated projections are that, the average 65-year-old couple retiring this year is going to need almost $300,000 to cover their out-of-pocket medical costs during retirement. That's only going to go up as medical inflation rises and as life expectancies get longer. And all that means is that retirees are going to have to stretch their savings over a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. It also increases the likelihood they'll need to pay for costly services, like long-term nursing home care. Employers based on this MassMutual survey also believe their workers are struggling primarily with credit card and other consumer debt, as well as housing costs and the inability to save for emergencies. These findings, it seems, Melody, mirror some of the recent statistics that
Well, you know, people are going to get upset with me, I think, on this one, where the pressure ramps up on private sector for paid parental leave.
Well, we're just reporting.
I personally, I have an opinion. I have issues with this. So the U.S. is the only industrialized country that doesn't mandate paid leave for new parents. You know, while there are federal rules mandating unpaid leave, most companies set their own rules with an eye toward their bottom lines. After the House approved the bill on Wednesday, the Business Roundtable, which is the biggest, you know, everybody says the NRA is so powerful. No, ladies and gentlemen, the Business Roundtable is far more powerful than any lobbying group out there. But a group of CEOs whose companies employ more than 15 million is urging Congress and the president to make family leave available to as many working Americans as possible.
Yeah, paid family leave.
Paid family leave. I'm sorry, you just can't tell employers what they should have to do. And I'll tell you what, it's maybe for the large conglomerates, the multinational corporations, I'm sure they get tax benefits and everything else, that very little of it comes out of their bottom line when they're paying for the paid parental leave. But for a medium to small company, that comes out of their pockets, and it makes it difficult for them, and it will put people out of business. I mean, it's one thing if it was a week or maybe 2 weeks, but I mean, it's, you know, I think, what is it, 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
12.
12?
12.
That's even worse. So, you know, it's you know, the Business Roundtable said its member company's sole purpose was no longer profits. Really? I don't know, Dave.
Well, it looks as though we have a caller, Chris, from California, Melody.
We
Todd,
do.
Todd, you want to tie Chris in?
Hey, Chris.
Oh, it looks like he just dropped. Chris, if you're still listening, give us a call back, and we'll get you on the air.
All righty. So.
Well. Yeah. Right, this is a big. You want to continue?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I thought you meant you were going to continue.
Oh well, just okay. He's back. So let's we'll come back to this in a moment.
All right. Hey, Chris. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining the program.
Hi, you two. Thank you for having that program there, both of you, and Butch,
well,
too.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thanks.
What do you got for us? I wanted to share with you, you were wondering who that was in the 30s that got landslidden in the prime minister position.
Come
on, you guys can look back to that. I mean, that was that druid old Winston Churchill with the drank a fifth every day. He took out that weenie Neville Chamberlain, who was kowtowing to Uncle Adolf.
Well, doggone, that consummate appeaser.
Yeah, well, that was Chamberlain, Dave.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. You know, I should have put that together with the year that was in question.
Yeah, I was wondering how did you get the 30s and you couldn't come up with those two big shots or actually.
Oh, Chris, it's close to Christmas. That's why.
But no, that was a good guess, Thatcher. You know.
Well, Thatcher was. Obviously in the 80s in the Reagan era, and she won. I forget who she beat pretty handily, But gosh, 50 years earlier, that's a big deal. That changed the course of history in many respects.
Yes, but they baited Hitler into this, just like we baited the Japanese into WW1 Part B.
Part B.
I was going to say, Part B. Funny, we're all mostly German, and Roosevelt got us to take out our own German ancestry. Pretty good trick, huh?
Our friend James Corbett has a fascinating three-part series on WW1. The part three does sort of touch on a little bit of the pre-World War II era, but if you ever want a different take on the causes and the events leading up to WW1, check out his website, thecorbettreport.com.
Yeah, it's a fascinating documentary.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's sharp. What's the name of that documentary again?
Well, I forget what it's called, but I believe it might be on his homepage. But it's okay. thecorbettreport.com.
Yeah.
Got anything else for us, Chris?
Oh, I just wanted to just thank you guys for all you do. I appreciate everything. I had another thought, but it escaped me. That's what you get when you get to be as old as you two.
I'm 39, so careful. All right, appreciate
it.
I'm right with you. Thank you. All right. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks you for your too. Inspiration.
Bye-bye, Nate. Chris. Not... All right. Well, you know, heading into, let's see, we have about a minute before we go into the break, and we'll just finish up this on the about the bill that is expected to become law, and about the parental leave with paid parental leave.
And well, it looks like Microsoft leads the pack among larger companies. It offers 5 months paid leave to all new birth mothers, and 3 months for fathers, adoptive parents, and foster parents. Microsoft also said it will only work with suppliers and vendors that offer their employees 12 weeks of paid parental leave. Netflix also apparently stands out. They offer a full year of paid time off to both mothers and fathers. And the accounting giants Deloitte and KPMG apparently also offer very generous paid parental leave packages. But you're right, Glassdoor, which is a firm that studies this issue, says it's the larger employees who tend to start offering these benefits initially to attract and retain employees. But as you said, smaller businesses.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter and our blog. And the blog went out today, Dave's blog, and it's about gold's 2020 bullish outlook, ladies and gentlemen. So go to the, you can even go to Facebook. We don't talk much about Facebook, but you can go there, and it's at DGS Coins. At DGS Coins is Facebook. And, you know, Dave's blog talks about the impressive advance we saw in 2019. And, of course, there's a lot of reasons for that. So make sure you get the blog and see what Dave has to say about the rising price of gold. Y'all know what I think. I've been saying it for how many years? So, of course, these times are so troubling. And I would love to be just very optimistic on everything. I would love to be a cheerleader. I was a cheerleader when I was younger, and it's always fun to cheer and see your team win. But I don't look at this as a team. I don't see what's happening as different teams. We're not on different teams. We're all on the same team. And so, but anyway, 800-375-4188. Let's just go ahead. It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and I guess a lot of things going on with the holidays creeping up. We have I think everybody is so irritated with robocalls. So you have federal regulators, you have lawmakers, you have private companies. They haven't found any one tool that on its own can stem those calls. So they're trying several approaches at once. Now get this, there were a record 5.7 billion robocalls. That's not for the year. That's not for the quarter. That was for October. 5.7 billion robocalls in October, and I swear I felt like I got 5 billion of them. This is according to UMAM, and the Federal Communications Commission has signaled out the issue as its top consumer complaint. The FCC is pushing both the policy proposals and huge fines to deter these robocalls. On the policy front, the FCC has made it clear to service providers that they can offer robocall blocking services. It has also demanded that they implement a caller ID authentication framework known as Shake and Stir, which involves creating a digital fingerprint to verify caller ID information. Well, I wouldn't use that one. I'm, you know, not a fan of fingerprinting. What are the fines?
That's fascinating. Well, yesterday, the FCC proposed a $10 million fine against a man, an individual, who's accused of imitating a rival telemarketing company's number to make thousands of robocalls with false allegations against a political candidate in California. The thing is FCC, one FCC commissioner pointed out, the FCC hasn't collected on a majority of the robo fines it's assessed. The agency relies on the Justice Department to do the collecting. And she said everyone should save the acolytes for when we crush these calls and actually collect. And on that score, she added, we have work to do. Now, on Capitol Hill, the House voted last week to approve legislation that would combat robocalls by requiring carriers to implement this caller authentication system that Melody just spoke of, and to give consumers free access to call blocking software. The so-called Pallone-Thune Traced Act, T-R-A-C-E-D, I'm sure that stands for something, would also give the FCC greater enforcement powers and also encourage more cooperation with the Justice Department in cracking down on these nuisance calls.
They're so irritating. I don't mind them as much on my cell phone as I do on my hardline phone.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't have a hardline anymore, and I spend just far too much of my day blocking calls from these numbers that, you know, just want this, that, and every piece of your bank account.
I have multiple lines here in the office.
Oh, gosh.
And it's interesting. But it's interesting is rarely do they call in on my 800 line. Most of the robo-calling comes in on my second line. And then sometimes I don't know if they roll over or go in. I hear my, you know, when I hear my third line ringing, I just know it's, you know, a sales call because I have they ring in order. And so, but usually my line two is the one that comes all the time. I get tons, and it's just interesting how they miss the various lines. So, but this bipartisan legislation is waiting a vote in the Senate. I guess it's supposed to come pretty soon. And there's a couple of, you know, Apple has added features to, you know, help customers, you know, block these online call unknown callers. And Google has set up screening features. There are also third-party apps like No More Robo, No More Robo or Robo
No More
Killer.
Robo.
That'll help these spam callers. But, hey, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't recognize the number, ladies and gentlemen, don't pick it up. Then, of course, you can go in, if depending on what app you have, go in and block it. And then, of course, there's emails, which are every bit as bad, in some cases worse than telephones. That, I guess, is another story.
Mm. What's next, Dave?
Well, we'll just talk a little bit about this. So we talked about it earlier in the week, about it coming up. But yesterday, the House passed drug pricing legislation. It's a sweeping bill that controversial that would allow the U.S. government to negotiate lower prices on the costliest drugs. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reached an agreement earlier in the week with a key bloc of liberal Democrats who thought the bill didn't go far enough and were threatening to oppose it on the House floor. Two Republicans, two of the 197 Republicans, voted in support of the bill. But its chances of becoming law apparently are slim. It's unlikely to be taken up in the Senate, where lawmakers have a competing health care bill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has previously ruled out action on the House bill, and President Trump has vowed to veto it, but perhaps the Senate will take action on its bill, and it will, you know, get to a House-Senate conference committee where they can negotiate something in our best interests.
Yeah, I've never known government to do something in our best interest. That's the problem with it. And the CBO estimates if enacted, it would save Medicare $456 billion over a decade. That's really not a lot of money. Medicare will be broke before that. But it's also going to keep 8 new drugs from coming to the U.S. market. That might be a good thing. It depends on if you need it or not. But I don't know. I can see the controversy in this whole thing. And what always amazes me is, why do they waste so much time on it when they know it's not going to be passed? You know, if there's a slim chance, why bother?
Well, I think, you know,
why bother?
I think in this case, both parties saw overall strong support, especially from the White House, knowing that this is one of Trump's big priorities, big campaign promises. And so I believe that's why they've been working to get something, you know, to the floors. And I mean, the way to do it is to get both houses to pass it. And again, you know, hoping they can work something out in conference committee. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it works in consumers' best interests, and sometimes against. So we will see.
There's a 3-digit suicide prevention hotline number that's soon going to become active. I guess this was announced yesterday by federal regulators. When the process is completed, U.S. residents will be able to call 988 for help in a mental health emergency, just as 911 connects people in other types of emergencies. Currently, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline uses a 10-digit number, and that is 1-800-273-8255. That number routes callers to one of 163 crisis centers around the country, where counselors answered 2.2 million calls last year. The 3-digit number is really going to be a breakthrough in terms of reaching people in a crisis, CEO of Lines for Life, a suicide prevention nonprofit. Be interesting to know the 2.2 million calls last year. Even though this is a suicide prevention lifeline, I'd like to know if that 2.2 million strictly was related to someone having a mental situation or...
Yeah,
I'd like to see the breakdown of this 2.2 million and how has it helped?
We'll look into that. I suspect that that statistics are kept in those respects. So we'll look into that and get back to listeners. We're also reading that Wall Street bonuses are expected to be down by 9% this year, Melody.
That's all nine.
Well, what does that translate to? It still translates to $25 billion in Wall Street bonuses. That's down from the $27.5 doled out last year. So it looks like a surging stock market and low unemployment doesn't mean that bonuses in the security industry keep growing and growing. This is the time of year where bonuses, especially the big corporate bonuses, are handed out or at least announced. In fact, many of the Wall Street firms, the financial firms, still hand out quarterly bonuses. I don't know if the big banks still do that or not, but they run six, sometimes seven figures, making up a third or more of an executive's annual compensation. But you know, with a banking industry that's been hit with low interest rates and the trade wars and political infighting and just volatile markets in general, I guess this year's payouts are going to be less. So as I say, bah humbug, Melody.
Or you know, there was one
T. Go ahead.
There was one company I saw out there with where they're sharing like $10 million with their employees. Yeah. And it's based on the tenure of how many years they were there. In fact, even an employee who hadn't started yet, was hired but hadn't actually started to work yet, got a little bonus of $100. They split you know, amongst all the employees, and some got $50,000 bonuses and so forth. So that was really nice. That was really a good thing to do. Yeah. And I'll guarantee you those employees are there for life. They were there through the bad times, getting the company off the floor, getting it into a profit area. And so they were there during difficult times, and now the company is sharing in the good times. So,
A tad different than the average Wall Street firm who pays... an average bonus of over $153,000. That was last year. Wall Street bigwigs, we see the average comp was 422,000. That's five times higher than what the average private sector worker made, Melody.
Well, we're just about out of time, and I just want to, since I brought up Christmas a few times, if you don't have your Christmas tree yet, supplies are tight this year. Oh. They were tight last year, too, because I couldn't get a tree last year, but, you know, and they were all sold out, and that's what they said. It was a tight supply last year. The industry is still bouncing back from the Great Recession, trying to win people back from a shift towards artificial trees. We did a report just last week. Wasn't it you and me, Dave? Where only 40% of the population has real trees. Everything else is fake. Was that you or was that Butch?
Must have been Butch. It's not ringing
but,
a bell.
So if you're going to get your real tree, ladies and gentlemen, go out and get it before they're gone. And an oversupply of trees about a decade ago caused a domino effect nationwide. Fewer trees were cut down, which meant not as many seedlings were planted to replace them. And then we have the hot, dry weather also took its toll, forcing many growers to close. So with that, we're out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Have a great weekend, Dave. Thank you. Be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.